Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT. Bandwidth for Net at Night is brought to you by AOL Radio at AOL.com/podcasting. This is Net at Night with Amber MacArthur and Leo Laporte, episode 39 for November 21st, 2007. Just call me Camille. Net at Night is brought to you by Audible.com. For your free audio book and a whole lot more, visit audible.com/night, N-I-G-H-T. It's time for Net at Night, everybody's favorite, at least my favorite, Web 2.0 show, in which we explain all having to do with the new interweb. And here it is, ladies and gentlemen, the lady behind the interweb, Ms. Amber MacArthur. Hello.
Hello, Leo.
The lady behind the interweb.
That's pretty good. The introductions are getting more interesting all the time.
That's as I get spacier and spacier.
You're not spacey, Leo. Don't worry.
It's a long day. I've been recording because, you know, Thanksgiving, American, U.S. Thanksgiving is tomorrow. So I've had to record everything for the week in 2 days instead of the four I usually have.
Oh, wow. So you actually are going to take some time off.
Jennifer gives me no choice.
I was just going to say, okay, you have no choice.
No choice. We have 26 in-laws coming. They're all arriving. After this, I have to drive to the airport and get Jennifer's sister and their kids. And then, anyway, it's going to be full house. And we've got two turkeys brining right now.
Oh, I miss American Thanksgiving. It's so much fun.
Is it different? No, don't you have turkey and cranberry sauce and all that?
We eat turkey, but it's not as big of a holiday as it is in the U.S. It's definitely a holiday, and we have a stat holiday on the Monday, so people have dinner on Sunday or Monday, but in the States,
it's a three-day weekend. I get it.
Yeah. In the States, I mean, you guys have 4 days, really, for a nice long weekend. It felt bigger to me in the States than really like the Christmas season in some ways.
It's a big deal. And of course, Friday, day after tomorrow, is the biggest shopping day of the year.
Of course.
What is your Black Friday in Canada?
I don't know, but Boxing Day for us, which is the day after Christmas, is a holiday, but they do have shopping as well.
That's
so
when you
Boxing
take everything back.
And you shop too.
Oh, okay. You trade in. That's the trade-in day.
Not really re-gifting. Yeah, you just trade in. You get rid of the gifts that you don't need.
The crap that you got that you didn't want.
So, exactly.
But see... Thanksgiving makes a good demarker for us in the States because Christmas season doesn't really begin. You're not allowed to put up lights or get Christmassy until the day after Thanksgiving. But what do you guys have? You don't have any magic button that you press.
Not really. There's no magic button up here in Canada, Leo.
When will the Christmas season begin?
Well, it's interesting. There are already lights up in the city in front of certain hotels. And so you're starting to get that Christmas vibe. But I for me, it always feels as though it's really December 1st. That's kind of the day that people feel comfortable putting up trees. And they also feel comfortable kind of putting up, well, not their trees inside, but putting up lights outside for sure.
Right.
And so that's kind of the marker for us. But we don't have quite the fun holiday that you guys do. My parents are down in Florida for American Thanksgiving, and they have 8 friends down there who have flown down from Prince Edward Island and who are celebrating with them. So,
they're going to have it. Well, you should go. You're not going to. I'll tell you what. I'll save a piece of turkey for you, and I'll FedEx it up to Toronto.
I bet it'll taste great when it gets here.
I'm really looking forward. We've actually rented tables and chairs. The whole house is going to be taken over. It's crazy. In fact, as soon as I finish this, I have to run back home. And work and get stuff. I have to make the stuffing tonight. Do you like stuffing? There's two different. Yeah, me too. But there's two different points of view. Some people say, don't give me that stale bread. To me, that's the best part of Thanksgiving is the stuffing.
I love stuffing. My mom puts raisins in stuffing as well, which I really enjoy. She makes the best stuffing ever. I think it's pretty much my favorite part of Thanksgiving.
Send me her recipe.
I need a good recipe. It's excellent.
I make my Nani's stuffing, my Italian grandma's stuffing, and she's got Italian sausage in it, and she puts orange juice in it.
Wow, that sounds like breakfast.
It does. It doesn't sound great, but it tastes fantastic. So let's get to the, now I'm getting really hungry.
You're making me hungry.
I know. We're going to talk about Web 2.0. No guests today, although, there are a lot of people who want to be on this show, so we'll start lining up some more guests. for you. Because, you know, right now it's just a chance for me and Amber to talk. We don't get to see each other anymore, so we talk once a week about what's going on. I am, like, going crazy on Twitter now, as you know.
I sure do. I'm stalking you on Twitter. It's great, Leo. You have to keep it up. Are you going to be Twittering during the holidays?
Yeah, already am. And then I've added, remember I talked about it last week that I was going to allow people to be part of my Facebook family.
I know.
Unrestricted, and I'm over 1,000 now, which I'm pretty happy about. Not 5,000, but I'm getting there. You know what I realized? It's a pain in the butt to say yes to somebody on Facebook. It's two clicks, and you got to wait for the little Ajax window to open. And
Facebook is so slow.
They could really speed it up.
I know, it's so slow. But I agree, that whole process of accepting friends. Although I have to admit, I think it's a good thing, because what I used to do on MySpace is just say select all and accept friends. So I never really knew who was adding me as a friend. But now, because I'm forced to go through one by one, sometimes I'll discover someone and say, oh my goodness, I haven't seen this person forever, or, you know, just stumble across a friend. So I think in a way it's kind of smart.
That is true. And I one thing I'm worried about when I get to, if I'm sure I'll get to 5,000, when or if I get to 5,000, how do I get my real, you know, like if like my old girlfriend, my first girlfriend is my Facebook friend.
Aww.
Isn't that weird?
That's really weird.
I mean, I haven't seen her in 30, 40 years and she's my Facebook friend. And so there's just, you start to meet, you know, reconnect with these people, and I hope I don't run out of space.
Well, yeah, that's a bit of a problem, right? So you might hit the 5,000.
Yeah.
But then you have to kind of, you know, you figure all the people, by the time you get to 5,000, hopefully everybody you're close enough to will be on that list.
Yeah.
If they're not, they're too late to be even.
So hurry. If there's any former girlfriends that would like to, you know, I shouldn't say that. That's bad. That's
Leo,
really bad.
Bad news.
Well,
this leads in. I'll do a nice segue for you here, Leo. This leads into our first story.
This is why I love Amber. She saves me from myself.
Oh, I've worked with you long enough to know. So this is about Facebook. Facebook users are complaining about new tracking.
Oh, yeah. So you buy something on Facebook. Actually, you buy something anywhere, almost, it seems like. It says, can we send this to Facebook? And then Facebook says, can we tell your friends?
I know. And it's funny, I was reading this story that was done by Associated Press, and they were writing about how someone had bought a gift for her boyfriend, and she bought him a pair of gloves, and then he saw the update on Facebook that she had bought this, and then knew what the present was. So it's not a good thing. And I guess, you know, a lot of the criticism is that when the little notice comes up that says that the information will be shared, and you have an option to say no thanks, but people are saying that it's not clear enough, it's not apparent enough, and it only lasts for 20 seconds. So after that, it's assumed that you're okay with them actually sharing the information about what you're buying from online retailers.
And now Facebook says, well, we ask you at the retailer, in this case it was overstock.com, I don't know how many retailers are doing it, but then they say, and then we ask you again on Facebook. So you have two chances. But then there's moveon.org. Did you see they're getting involved?
I know, I read that.
That doesn't make sense. They're a political action group. But I guess they take this stuff pretty serious. It seems like this is not really their issue.
Yeah, I wasn't really sure about their involvement. I think just overall,
they're making it their number one thing. They're saying it's a big deal.
Yeah, it's a bad idea.
Have you seen this? I'm mostly buy stuff on Amazon. They're not doing it. Have you seen this on any sites?
No, I haven't. I haven't seen it on any sites at all that I've been using.
So buy something on overstock.com just to try it.
Yeah, just to test it out. And I guess the biggest fear really is that it's coming up to the holiday season when people are starting to shop online. And, you know, I think, you know, people should just be aware that if they are buying from some of the sites that are hooked up with Facebook where they're sharing information, they should make sure that they say they don't want that information shared. It's kind of a pain. But
what would you like? A Copilot all-in-one golf travel bag with wheels, a Chrome dual bike rack system, or a Bearpaw sheepskin 10-inch boot with lug sole? Because those are the big deals right now on overstock.com. How about color-changing Morph stress ball? There you go. That's $4.90.
Nice.
All right. I'm going to buy you one of those. Do you want it to change from blue to red, blue to yellow, green to blue, green to yellow, red to blue, red to orange, or yellow to blue?
How about blue to red?
She's actually got an opinion. Okay.
I have an opinion about all this.
I'm adding it to my cart. I'm going to check out. It's $7.94. I'm just curious if it's going to say, I mean, how would it know that I even have a Facebook account?
I know. I can't wait to see what this says. I love when you do things on the fly like this, but it always costs you money.
It does. I know. Okay, wait a minute. I gotta get my PayPal football. Do you do this? Do you have the security dongle? This is really cool. So I enter the number 326485. I have my password 326485.
Should you say your password outside?
Well, because it changes.
Oh, good. Okay, sorry.
326485. By the time you hear this, oh crud! Now what's going on? I have to overstock. Wait a minute. I have to do it again. Okay. By the time you hear this, it's going to be different. That's what's great about this dongle. See, is that you enter the thing in, and then it changes 402641 every 30 seconds. So unless you have the dongle, you can't log in as me on PayPal.
That's great.
Isn't that cool?
That's very cool.
Yeah. All right. So let's submit. So I'm going to buy this at Overstock. The whole point of this, folks, verify my identity. I already did verify my identity.
You're like the grumpy online shopper.
I don't want to do that. Does your mom, she must shop online.
A little bit, especially because my brother and his wife are pregnant with twins.
Congratulations.
I know. It's very exciting. So now my mom has discovered all of these different sites where you can buy stuff for twins. So I guess in stores, they don't necessarily stock a lot of like the double baby strollers and twin merchandise. But there are so many specialty shops online that sell stuff just for little twins. So she's getting excited about that.
We'll have to have them on our Jumping Monkeys podcast.
Oh, that's funny.
Because it's all about, you know, families. And Megan's a mother of twins, so we talk a lot about
twins. Oh, that's cool. That is very cool. Yeah, they're very excited. So the twins are due, I think, at the end of February.
Oh, that's exciting. Wait a minute.
Yes.
Hold on a second. It needs my phone number. Jeez.
Whoa, you don't have to say that out loud.
707.
Stop now.
All I'm buying is like a cheap rubber ball, $8. Okay, it's now. I'm waiting for the Facebook thing. How would it know that I'm on Facebook, though? It doesn't.
I don't know, Leo.
It didn't mention that. So that's it. That's it. So how would it know?
I'm not sure.
Okay.
I don't know.
That's it. So it didn't mention Facebook. So now I got a stupid rubber ball. I'm mailing this to you. You're getting it. Just imagine the tariff.
That's great. I can't. Yeah, exactly. I'm going to have to pay like $5.
Yeah, for a $7 rubber ball.
Duty charges for that ball. Thanks, Leo. Appreciate that.
Okay. Moving along.
Well, moving along. This is a funny story that I just recently read online, and it's about a technology journalist in Australia who says that he got canned because of the lack of hits that he was generating on the website that he worked for.
That's appropriate, so, don't you think?
I know. It's definitely an interesting case because if you think about it, this is probably a very unique way to kind of measure someone's success online if you figure out how many hits they're getting on their different articles. And for journalists, this would be the scariest thing in the world because they're so used to at least, I don't know so much in print, but a lot of people are used to just kind of being in a comfortable zone where they don't have to really interact with their audience or kind of prove their value. And
well, if you write for a magazine or a newspaper and you don't know how popular you are, the magazine or the newspaper might not be doing well. It's a little different on TV. I mean, we've always had ratings and, you know, if you're the host of the show, if Web Nation got bad ratings, it would redound on you because you produce it, you host it.
Yeah.
But see, print journalists never had this issue.
No.
Now they're part of us.
I know.
So is this a bad thing, do you think?
I think it's a good thing. I don't think it's good that this person got canned, but
let the marketplace rule.
Exactly. I think there's a certain point where you have to open up to your audience. I mean, we've always agreed on this, is that, you know, you really need to have that customer feedback. I was really reading a really interesting article today that's actually not on my list of links, but it was about a newspaper in San Jose. I think it was the Mercury News. They were trying to figure out how they were going to get more people reading their newspaper. And what they did is they got about 100 people who worked for the newspaper to go out just on this informal kind of session one afternoon where they went to local coffee shops like Starbucks and other places, and they asked people what they thought of the newspaper, just kind of in an informal survey, and if they had ideas of how to make the newspaper better. And I thought, Oh my goodness. This is such a simple thing that is such an amazing idea, is to just go out and get feedback from your audience. Just go out on the streets and start asking them what they think.
How revolutionary.
And I know, but you know, most people in journalism would be afraid to do that because they'd be right. afraid about what they would hear back.
Now there's something to be said. There's something to be said for independence in journalism. In other words, if you're the fourth estate, you're the watchdog. Even if you're not popular, there's certain obligation to do this kind of stuff. And, you know, if we only covered news that was popular, it would all be Britney Spears and Paris Hilton. So there's this. Yeah, right. So there's a certain amount of saying, well, journalism should be above popularity. But at the same time, if you're really dull and nobody's reading you, I think, yeah. it's, you know, if nobody likes what you're doing, I don't know. I mean, you and I believe in giving people what they want. Now, we do what we like.
Yes.
We've been fortunate that people mostly like what we do.
And the audience is very vocal as well, which is great.
Yes. They tell us how much they hate us.
No, they pretty much tell us what to do, actually, Leo. Yeah. I think it's more like that. It makes it easier.
So do you respond at City TV? Are you aware of that? And you kind of think about what stories you're going to do based on that?
Not so much. In fact, I would say that as far as audience participation, it's very, very, there's very little of that going on with my sort of daily reporting job there. With Web Nation, there's a lot more audience participation because a lot of that audience is online. But in the news, it just, no one, you know, the average person who's watching the news at home doesn't feel compelled to write.
They're passive.
Yeah, they're very passive. It's funny because people have said to me, oh, now do you get so many more emails because you're at City TV? And I say, no, I get hardly any emails now that I'm at City TV. When I was at G4 Tech TV, it's in the hundreds. I can just remember sitting there and there's like hundreds of emails coming in every single day. So
this is what's changing. And this was in my speech at Blog World. I talked about the way it used to be, the old media and the new media. And the business model of old media is big audiences, but they're very weakly engaged. They're inattentive. They don't really care. They just watch whatever's on, right? And that's kind of how people watch TV, or at least until recently, that's how people watch TV. Well, you know, it's 6 o'clock. That's what's on.
Yeah.
The new media, what we do is a very highly engaged, attentive, involved audience. And it's smaller in number, admittedly, much smaller in number, but advertisers are starting to realize that a million inattentive, weekly engaged people isn't worth very much compared to, say, 100,000 highly engaged, really, you know, people who really care about what they're listening to.
Exactly.
That's what's changed.
I totally agree. I would agree with you. Sorry, I'm just thinking of moving on to this next article because
Target.
It goes back to our shopping conversation a little bit,
yes.
But I read this on Reuters.com. You know, Reuters has great technology coverage on their website, I have to say.
That's because they're in Second Life now.
Yes. Ever since they got there, it
they're
got better.
They're all hip.
They're amazing. So there's an article there about how Target is testing online sales of used electronics.
Oh, used. So, interesting.
Used electronics. Okay. So the idea is that there are things like iPods and video game consoles and televisions that are now being put up on the Target website. And you will have an option to be able to buy used items, obviously, for less amount than the new items. I think they're probably going this direction basically because so many people are just going to eBay to buy everything.
Right.
So they've got to figure out some way to compete. But I thought that was kind of interesting.
Well, I think it's you need a marketplace for it that you trust, right? And I think that we are now in such a consumer culture. Look at the iPod. You've got to get the next iPod. So what do you do with the old one? It's perfectly good.
Yeah.
So more and more people sell stuff on eBay. I know a lot of people, a lot of gadget hounds, who are constantly selling the old gadget on eBay, and it makes sense for them. They save a huge amount of money because instead of buying new every time, even if they do buy new every time, they're always selling the old one, so they recoup a lot of that investment.
Exactly.
I think it's smart.
It's definitely smart. And I think it's just becoming more and more common all the time, especially with electronics. You know, some of the items, people just you always want the new version.
Right.
I'm just waiting for the retro iPods to come into fashion, like the really old school iPods that everybody will want one of those.
Yes. Yes. That's going to
might happen.
That's
you never know.
Awesome.
Stop. Wait.
I was clicking around on Facebook because I think maybe I have to buy something through Facebook. To get them. So I clicked I think I might buy this. It's the Rock Band. You know Rock Band, the new game?
Yes.
Where you're in a rock band. The problem with Rock Band is you need the instruments. You need the toy guitar, the toy drums, the toy mic. Here's the Rock Band bundle. You get a guitar, drum set, microphone, and the game for a mere $170.
Are you going to buy it?
No. But that's the kind of thing I'd want people on Facebook to know.
That you bought that?
No, you're right. Never mind.
Are you feeling okay right now?
No, I'm giddy.
You are giddy.
Because I've got two turkeys brining.
Oh my goodness, oh my that's God. Exciting. Okay, well, don't buy anything else because I don't want to get in trouble for you purchasing all this stuff on net at night.
How about if I play this Hunger Bites? This'll make me feel more somber.
It will.
This is from, who is this? A charity, yes?
Yeah, this was another story I read on Reuters. The UN has put up a contest on YouTube where they're asking people to submit videos, just short videos, 30 seconds or 60 seconds, talking about world hunger. Now, they've put up one video right now that is to a Beatles song. So it's just kind of a sample of the type of video they're looking for. They're looking for something, videos that are a little more edgy, kind of irreverent. So trying to obviously tap into that younger generation.
This is called Don't Be a Pig.
Yeah, let's listen to it for a sec.
I guess they figured the Beatles wouldn't dare sue the United Nations. Everywhere there's lots of piggies living. This guy eating the pasta eating contest. Oh, now it's a hot dog eating. Oh, disgusting. Stuffing rats in their mouth. You know, it's true. When people are starving all around the world, and then they have these, they call it a sport. Professional food eating contests. It's disgusting.
Disgusting. Yeah, that's really disgusting. So people can check out the video at youtube.com/hungerbites, and that's B-Y-T-E-S. And what I thought was really interesting.
So YouTube's involved with this.
Yes, they're. It looks like they're involved with it.
That's
which
really
is,
neat,
right? And the neat thing is that if you go to the page on YouTube where they're talking about the contest, and you click on one of the links, it says "Need Video," and what you can do is you can go to a website where they're actually officially talking about the contest, and you can actually get video clips from different countries where they're doing there's aid programs to
so
fight.
So you can mix it into your video.
And you can mix it into your video, and I thought this is the kind of the next step, and it makes a lot of sense to have this type of option on a contest like this, because I think it will get people being more creative and they don't have to come up with stuff on their own. So there are literally, I don't know how many videos, but you know, definitely at least a dozen.
I got an idea for a video. So I'll do a video of me like eating all this stuff, like at Thanksgiving, like stuffing my face with all this stuff, but then I'll play it in reverse. So it looks like food is coming out of me that you could eat, and then I'll feed it to poor starving people.
That sounds gross, kind of.
Okay, never mind.
You need to run these ideas by me first, I think.
Never mind. I forget I said it. You know, okay. I'm a little disappointed because this page has been up for a month, and there's only 5 subscribers and 1,000 channel views. We need to put the word out here.
I know. And that's the thing is they might have just started it.
It says October 10th.
Yeah, but I think the video, as far as the video going up them and them really promoting it, it's just kind of starting right now.
Oh, okay.
But I totally agree. And
if
your video
wins.
Yeah, we should definitely get the word out. You can win a no-frills trip to a hunger relief program in Africa, Asia, or Latin America.
There's the problem right there.
It could be interesting, though. I'm sure there's a lot of young filmmakers out there.
My daughter would want to do this because she's very involved with world hunger and wanting to end world hunger. So that actually would be a really good thing.
I think it's, and you know what? What a great thing to do, because there's so many people creating videos on YouTube because they have lots of energy, but to get them to create something you know, that really kind of helps put awareness out there about the UN's World Food Program. I think it's I like seeing stuff like this. It's just really good uses of Web 2.0 technology.
You know, if we took the money that we spent on the war in Iraq and we gave it to the World Food Program, everybody in the world would be fed.
Amazing.
For the next year. I mean, that's the kind of commitment it would take. Nobody would go hungry for a year.
It's crazy.
Go to this site, youtube.com/hungerbites. And make a video. We've got some creative, talented people in our audience.
I know. That's what I was thinking. We probably have such a pool of people who are so creative and they can put their videos up there. And I think there'll be lots of good stuff. And we'll check back and see if anyone's put videos up. And if you decide to put a video up there, send us off an email and let us know. So maybe we can play them once in a while during the next few episodes.
We'll give you some props.
Props.
Now, that's our web news. We've got to run along because you've got a date with Bigfoot. So that's my pet name for Tony Robbins. She's going to be talking to Tony. So what you're working on is website or something. So
I've got a call in about 18 minutes, but we're good. We're still moving along.
Best web idea.
Yeah, this is kind of just a fun website that was sent to us by Kevin, and it's called passiveaggressivenotes.com. And it's a place online where people have put their passive aggressive notes. So they're taking photos.
You see these everywhere.
I know.
I love
it's
this.
Great. I love this. And look how many comments they're getting on some of these notes. So like 100 comments here, 200 comments here of pictures of passive aggressive notes.
Here, let me read one. This is so what you do is you see these signs everywhere where people put up a sign saying, stop stealing my flowers or don't let your dog poop here or whatever. So you take pictures of the best one and you put them on this blog. This is do not kiss on someone else's kiss. Note to this is a handwritten note in the window of a Toy Star in Sarasota, Florida. Note to whoever keeps leaving lip prints on our window. If you are in love with someone who works here, please let us know. We like love. You might also be loved back. If you are random people who like blowing kisses at toys, please kiss a space below. And they've put four spaces for your kisses. But do not kiss somebody else's kiss. What you're doing is unsanitary enough as it is.
These are great.
I guess somebody's mad because they have to clean the window. Should I read another one?
Yeah, I like the one, the roommates one at the very bottom of the page.
All right, let me go all the way down. Is roommates. So this is something that somebody left probably on the refrigerator for her roommates.
I've had those before.
Alicia wrote this. As stated in the beginning, I do not mind you using my kitchen utensils as long as you wash them and put them away. I want to reinforce this with a reminder to thoroughly wash them and put them back in their proper place immediately after use, not the dishwasher or leave them out to dry. I'm trying to be generous, and it is frustrating that I can't even use or find my own dishes when I would like to. Also, please remember to get paper towels when you shop. Or reimburse those who already do. Thank you in advance for your cooperation.
Wow. See, all the time it took to write this neat note, she could have created a video for the World Hunger Program on YouTube.
This is great. Well, here's one. Thanks to the people who are using this food drive container as a trash can, you have no soul.
I like that one. That was funny. Anyway, it's kind of a fun little website where you see all these notes, the photos of all the notes that have been taken. So people can check it out at passiveaggressivenotes.com.
What a great idea.
I've had those before.
Have you? Your roommates have done that to you?
Yes, definitely.
Do you want to share any of those with the web or our audience?
Well, not so much anymore, but I think a few years ago when I was living with more roommates in San Francisco at one point, I lived with five people, and then an apartment before that, I lived with four people. And so what happened is there were notes all over. It was like, note war back and forth.
Everybody hated everybody else. I know.
It was too much. Now I bought my own place.
Isn't it nice not having a... Well, you do have a roommate.
I do. Jenna, she just tells me directly.
She's not passive aggressive, but
and
she's nice. She does things like makes you dinner.
Exactly.
She's a very sweet. Good roommate.
Yeah, she's an excellent roommate, so no complaints there. Now, Leo, you sent me one of the strangest videos I've ever seen.
Isn't this weird?
Yeah, but it's not online anymore, and I can't find it anywhere.
Well, it is on Laughing Squid's website. Thank goodness for Laughing Squid.
I think it's been taken off there. That's where I went to look for it.
Oh, no, it's right here. I'm looking at it.
Can you play it, though?
Yeah. We're sorry. This video is no longer available.
I told you.
Oh, no.
I know.
I'm glad I saw it.
Yeah, me too. Maybe you can explain what it is because you sent it to me.
So I love the idea. Scott, who does the Laughing Squid website, gets credit for this one. I saw it on his website. I steal a lot of stuff from Scott. I just stole the latest World of Warcraft ad featuring Mr. T.
Oh, yes.
Have you heard that one?
Yes, I have.
It's on my blog. Is it? I hate being so after the fact, but.
Oh, sorry. I saw it on your blog first.
Yeah, you lie. I just put it there. So let me play that first, because this is so funny. I just love this. Mr. T, and it's actually...
I'm Mr. T, and this is my Night Elf Mohawk.
Cut, T, there's no such thing as a Night Elf Mohawk.
Shut up, fool! Like I was saying, My Mohawk storms through mighty forests on his frost saber. My Mohawk...
T, it's a warrior, not a Mohawk.
Well, maybe Mr. T hacked the game and created a Mohawk class. Maybe Mr. T's pretty handy with computers. Had that occurred to you, Mr. Condescending Director? I'm Mr. T, and I'm a Night Elf Mohawk.
Yeah, Mr. T is a Night Elf Mohawk.
That's awesome.
Just love that. I could watch that over and over. So let me... which I do. I go to my own blog, and I watch it over and over. So Nokia... which has, interestingly enough, trying to become a Web 2.0 company. You know, they're buying social network sites, and they're putting all of this stuff together, I guess, so that when you buy a Nokia phone, you don't ever leave the Nokia world. So they made this just wacky, very Finnish, Web 2.0 tribute video that everybody's in. Did you ever see it?
Yeah, I saw it as soon as you sent it to me. And then I mentioned it this week in Command N, and we went to grab the video, and it was no longer on YouTube. So I'm sure if I dig around, I could find it somewhere.
Let's see. Here it is on TechCrunch. Nope. You know what happened? They pulled it. Probably they got a cease and desist on YouTube because everybody's mentioning it. It's, you know what? It's like the web, the internet people one.
Yeah.
It's got everything in it, you know? But it's, I think, maybe a little bit cleverer.
I do, too.
But boy, I'd be really disappointed if it's gone.
I know. I'd love to know
maybe
where
if
it
I could find it on the Nokia site.
You might be able to.
Send us an email if you figured out where it's supposed to be.
And it's so a strange viral video by Nokia celebrating Web 2.0.
I'm looking at Nokia's own site, and it's not there.
Strange.
The next story in video, multimedia. See, they're promoting the fact that you can use their phones to do this stuff. It was such a good... Oh, that's sad.
I know, it's sad. Anyway, so that was going to be the best web video, but it's not online anymore. So we have to settle for turducken.
Turducken, because it's Thanksgiving tomorrow.
Exactly. And so you can go and check out this great turducken video about how to make turducken. And I've never been to one, but as I understand it, it is a turkey with a duck inside of it. And inside the duck is a chicken.
Yes. And it actually comes from a guy named John Madden, who is a former coach of the Oakland Raiders football team and is still a commentator on football. And I think it was he that publicized this turducken.
It's strange, but...
I think he made it up originally.
I'd say so.
But I've had a tofurkey, which is...
Oh, yeah, I love tofurkey.
Oh, you're just weird. You see, you were a vegetarian for years, so you probably had
Yeah,
to.
That's part of it.
But the turducken is the opposite of a tofurkey.
I'm not ready for the turducken.
Turducken's all meat. Here's the turducken video. This is from Engelmania, the Engelman family website. He's typing in the... he's Googling turducken. I guess Chef Paul Prudhomme makes it. He says he's been making one. His brother and Rob and I have been making turducken biannually since 2001.
I know I will build a bungalow if it's 40 degrees below and the frigid winter snow. I'll wait outside for her. Wait outside for her. Yeah.
You're really kind of missing the point because it's really a slideshow of turducken festivities.
Yes, with this. Some good music.
And if you want, I will tell you.
I don't know if watching this video would actually make you want to eat a turducken.
I would be
so. Oh.
It's actually strange because I saw the turducken video just after I was watching the World Hunger video commercial, and then I thought, wow, do we really need turducken?
So it's a turkey with a duck with a chicken in it.
Yeah, exactly.
Or
just
somewhere.
Pork birds.
I think there's an egg in it. Well, you put an egg in there, too, so it goes all the way back
to
the first.
That's just wrong. That's wrong.
I don't know why you even want it. I don't even think it would taste good. Would it?
I don't know. It might taste good, I guess, if you like animals inside of animals inside of animals.
It's like a babushka, one of those Russian babushka dolls made out of meat.
That's awesome.
It's a meat
That's
babushka.
Exactly what it is. Ugh. Oh, goodness. I'm totally not hungry anymore. I was hungry when we first started talking about stuffing, and now I'm just done.
Let's take a typing test.
Yes. Well, This is for our little best web app. I found this site. I think I found it on Delicious, and it reminded me when we were working on Call for Help together. I did a segment on how to type faster, and we were having sort of a contest of typing. So this site is called Speed Test. It allows you to test how quickly you can type. I like it. It's really simple, but it's just speedtest.10-fast-fingers.com.
It goes on and on. I'm doing it.
Is it working for you?
Yeah.
Yeah. But it takes, it's like 60 seconds, so you see how many words you, so you know what's going to happen right now for the next 60 seconds for everybody out there who's listening. We have completely lost Leo, because anytime I suggest anything that is interactive or fun, he is completely gone off.
And I have to do it.
He's trying it out. He's doing it right now. I can just tell, and he's not going to stop for like 60
I got words
seconds.
Wrong. It's taking my points off.
Yeah, that's what happens, because you're failing.
Failing. I'm not failing. You're failing. No. You're confusing me.
I'm trying to distract
you. Oh, screw it. I was doing really well. I was doing really well, but then I got distracted. Now it stopped. I guess I ran out of time. Let me see how many words. You reached 189 points, position 43,877 on the ranking. You typed 305 characters a minute, but you have 47 correct and 4 wrong words. So 47 words a minute's not very good.
No, that's not great. I'm sure you could do better when you were less distracted.
Yeah, you were teasing me.
Yes, I'm teasing. I'm just
Amber was teasing me. That's not fair.
It's not fair. I'm sure people would love it if we talked like that for the whole
Told
show.
You, we're going to talk like this.
They're like, we're never listening to that show again.
Now, we had last week, we had Prince and his P-Funk song.
Yes, and remember we started laughing at the same time because it sounded like a chipmunk song because Prince's voice was really high-pitched.
There's actually an explanation for why he sounds that way.
There sure is.
Let me play Craig a little bit of it again. Let me
yes.
So you can hear it. This is the song that he gave to the Prince websites, the fan sites that he originally sued, but then decided not to sue him and to instead give them a song, which is playing back very. There it is. Oh, it's the bandwidth on this site is not very good. I'm waiting.
And then as soon as the song starts, it sounds like Chipmunk Land.
Yeah. Yes, we can't play it because it's just, you'll have to, I must refer you back to Net at Night episode 38.
Yes.
Where you will be able to hear Prince sound like this.
Now, Craig sent an email to us and he said he was explaining why Prince's voice is like that. And I thought this was really interesting. He said, this is a voice that Prince has used in the past. It's sort of an alter ego called Camille.
Oh, please.
And this I thought... Wow, Prince has an alter ego named Camille?
He's schizophrenic.
Prince has multiple personalities, basically.
Yeah, I believe that.
Yeah, I believe that as well. Anyway, can you imagine being so famous that you're such a huge pop star and you decide to start creating songs in an alter ego? I don't know. The more I read about Prince, the more Leo I'm just...
But what you have to love about Prince is he is his own guy, right? He's Prince.
And Camille.
Yeah, he's his own guy and his own girl. And not many people could say that.
Not many people on this day and age can be international pop stars but and their own guy.
Apparently,
and girl.
According to Craig, the critics are raving about this song. And the song explains why he's suing and skewers some site operators, but they've made up. So
I know.
I guess all you have to do is write a song about him, even if it's mean, and they're still going to love you.
Well, see, exactly. There's a lot more history to the song than we really explained last week. We just made fun of him because of the chipmunk-like tone to the song.
Oh, I want to do it again. Can I make fun of it again, please? Let me play it one more time. See if it'll play. No, it plays like 1 second of the song, and then it stops. Aww.
Yeah, you got it. People have to do it.
It's buffer. Here it comes. That was it. It's not. Come on. Here's... There it is. Here it comes. Come on, Camille. Sing for us. God, dang nabbit. I hate the web. Dang. It's playing like a second at a time. I don't know what's going on here.
Drop it down.
There it is. See, now, I think he's processing his voice. He's making himself sound like a chipmunk. I don't think he's singing that way.
He's speeding up
the tape.
Yeah, he's doing something to his voice. I think you're right. He's probably processing it to sound like Camille.
Did I ever mention that when you have 1,500 Facebook friends, your Facebook gets very busy? The news feed is like, Fred broke up. John Gus got married. Sally hates her boyfriend. Mark Warner is now married. Gary Levesque is now attending a memorial service. But it's kind of fun.
It's better than TV.
You feel like you have a community.
I know. You just watch it all the time.
Look, here's Albert Einstein talking about, somebody just put this on their site, talking about his struggles.
December 16th, 1921. Last night, I was honored with the Nobel Prize in theoretical physics.
See, imagine finding that on your Facebook page.
Yeah, there's everything. It never ends.
Weird stuff.
Okay, I have one more link before we have to go.
Because Bigfoot's calling. 3 minutes. Yes. You got 3 minutes.
Well, I actually had two, but we want to talk about web design apps, and we're going to have to wait now again until next week. But I still want to mention a web design pick for the week. This is from Seth Godin's blog.
Okay.
And at sethgodin.typepad.com.
We asked him to be on the show once, and he said, I'm trying to make an effort only to appear on podcasts with more than 25,000 listeners.
Oh, you're right.
So I said,
I remember that.
Oh, how did you know that we had less than 25,000? Well, I figured if you had more, you'd tell me. So I said, screw you.
Yeah, we definitely have more.
But let's give him a plug.
Okay. Anyway, it's a good little article. It's about eye tracking rules in web design and some rules for how you're supposed to lay out a web page. For instance, have ads in the top and left portion of the page because they'll receive the most attention from the eye. And talks about bigger images and clean, clear faces, how those images can be a lot more attractive. People tend to focus in on them. Headings draw the eye. Large blocks of text are avoided. I mean, a lot of the stuff is, I think, really common sense. But what I like about it is just for someone who's a beginner coming into web design and want some tips on how people are actually reading websites and you know, putting their eyes to them and where they're going on the page, it's a good little handy article. So it's just
Readers ignore banners. That's interesting. Actually, he points, and I would click the link to a longer article by Christina Laun on virtualhosting.com. And then that points back to iTrack3, Online News, Consumer Behavior in the Age of Multimedia. So Seth is really, I mean, I guess he gives him credit by linking, but he's just really synopsizing something that somebody else wrote.
Yeah. Anyway, kind of interesting. So you can check that out. And next week, we do have to talk about different software to design websites, just because we promised it last show, and we're not going to get a chance to talk about it again.
Our time has come to an end.
It comes too quickly. Now we're talking like chipmunks ourselves.
Yes, because I'm Camille, and you're Robin.
Camille and Robin. Yeah. Net at Night with Camille and Robin.
Yeah. It's the new house.
You know, it reminds me of, I did this story recently about the fastest talking. Did I tell this with the fastest talking person, woman in the world? I did a story with her about a contest that Expedia.ca is running, looking for people to create videos of themselves talking really fast in 30 seconds. And I went to this interview and they gave me a piece of, like a half a paragraph to kind of read out loud.
You talk pretty fast.
Oh my gosh. The woman who is the fastest talking woman in the world, she was like, you have to enter the contest. You're one of the fastest talkers I've ever seen. She couldn't even believe it. She was totally blown away. So they gave me this passage and I just read through it. I was like reading the whole thing super, super fast. I was talking like this the entire time and it was going crazy. So I...
You do. Anyway. You talk a little swiftly. Do you want to hear the world's fastest talking woman?
She can speak more than 600 words per minute. How does she do it?
It's just like math, especially when I'm excited about something.
Oh, she does talk fast.
But I'm in this room and I'm going to be doing the show. It's called More Than Human.
So we brought
her
to
a
More Than Human technical
this is Discovery Channel
to find out the physiology of what she's doing.
With something like putting an EEG or something on my...
And how she's doing...
You talk faster than her.
Oh my gosh, I was reading. So I was kind of like this. I'll just read this thing off Reuters. I was like, Target said on its website, customers can purchase pre-owned Apple iPads, video games, consoles, and television. While results might have been positive, not a decision to make whether or not we'll continue in the business. A discount retailer on a call with the analyst after. So I was talking like that the whole time.
My God.
I know. It's crazy.
You do talk fast.
I scared her.
Unbelievable.
Well, you know, Leo.
That was good, Amber. I think we found a new skill for you. Forget Fran Capo or Capo.
It's pretty much the only story I've ever done at City News where they're like, you know what? That was really awesome that you were talking so fast.
Amber, you've got to talk fast because we got to wrap it up. You've got an appointment and I've got a turkey to take out of brine. But we'll talk again next week with another great Net at Night. I just want to remind everybody, this show is brought to you by the good folks at Audible.com. Audible.com/night, N-I-G-H-T, to get a wonderful audiobook. Do you ever listen to audiobooks?
Not so much, but I probably should if I drove more, I probably would.
Yeah. What's cool is on the iPod and the iPhone, you can take Audible books and play them back fast. So they sound just like Amber.
That's pretty perfect.
But it's because your brain can handle the faster talking.
Oh, yeah.
So it's kind of neat. So that's one way to get more reading done. Audible is just fantastic. I'm recommending right now the new Steve Martin biography. I just love Steve Martin. It's called Born Standing Up, A Comic's Life. But that's just one of many books you could get absolutely free. They have 45,000 titles. It plays on hundreds of different devices. All you got to do is go to audible.com/night and sign up today. You get a credit for a free book. Take advantage of their half price sale going on through November 27th. 1,000 plus unabridged titles, half price. It's a great
awesome.
Place. I love Audible. Audible.com/night. We thank them so much for their support of Net at Night. Amber, you're the best. I'll see you someday soon in Vancouver, I hope. Meanwhile.
I hope so.
Meanwhile, have a great evening. Say hi to Bigfoot for me, all right?
Okay, enjoy your turkey.
And that's it. We'll see you next time on Net at Night.